For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. No Doran today. Hope to have him back tomorrow. He's under the weather. Mark Caboli in with us until 10 o'clock. Guardian Protection is your hometown home and business security company. You didn't watch any of this Florida State-Boston College game, Mark?
Man, I was watching Raw.
First of all, there's 17 teams now in the ACC, which is insane.
I couldn't even name them. Could you name them all?
Yes, but I don't want to do that to our listeners here. So, Boston College, one of those teams, and they ran it down Florida State's throat. 263 rushing yards. Teams that aren't suing to get out of the conference, 15-2. And the two teams suing to get out of the conference are a combined 0-3 right now. That's Florida State and Clemson. I'm going to say this right now. If Pitt's offense looks anywhere near as good as it did against Kent State the rest of the season, they're going to have a chance. That being said, it was Kent State. Figure it out this week against Cincinnati and then West Virginia, and we'll know if they're for real by the end of this month.
Good thing about Pitt is it. I mean, I know it's Kent State, but they look like they got a legit, legit quarterback.
I think so. He did almost turn it over a couple of times, not to be unexpected in game one with a new offense, new coordinator, new team, and they didn't have any penalties. Like they looked like a well-coached outfit, which is more than I can say about my guys who laid an absolute egg.
Yeah.
Anyhow, moving on. You can reach out to us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Left to right, what's your offensive line? What's the Steelers' offensive line?
On Sunday.
Yep.
Well, we're going to go left Dan Moore. Then we're going to go a little bit Spence Anderson. Then we'll go Zach Frazier, James Daniel, Roger Joe.
If Feltonu were healthy, would he be playing?
Feltonu actually looked, he was moving around pretty well.
Well, yesterday. All right, I'll ask it this way. If he had been healthy, would he be playing?
I would think so, yes. But would he have 4 or 5 practices this year, legit practices? You can't do that to a rookie like that, especially, I mean, once I say, I always say it, I mean, complain about Dan Moore all you want. He started all 49 games that he's dressed for over his career. So I'm taking a Dan Moore at this point over Feltonu, who's practiced 4 times.
Yeah, I think they're actually doing the right thing here, and that's where I've changed my mind. Over the weekend, I did some thinking. That's what you do when you go to Morgantown, West Virginia.
So you were bored.
I was bored.
Was this during the lightning delay while you were high?
Yeah, during the lightning delay, me and my guy Wes, we were just going back and forth talking about what the Steelers are going to do on their offensive line.
Wes got some fabulous hair.
He does have good hair. Listen, I would love to criticize them for quote-unquote screwing up Broderick Jones, but you're not going to start from left to right. Broderick Jones, who hasn't played left tackle in the NFL, Spencer Anderson, who's played 1 snap in the NFL, a rookie at center, Daniels, and then a rookie at right tackle. You're just not going to do that. Especially when your rookie at right tackle has practiced 4 times. You're not going to start the season that way. If Seumalo were healthy, I think there would have been a chance. But you're not going to start 4 offensive linemen who have basically no experience.
Not only that, what Spencer Anderson is he just moved the guard
right
full time in what, May? So It's not like I thought he played really well during the training camp and preseason. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how he does here. But yeah, I mean, you have to go that way because you're putting the offensive line in the best situation to succeed right now.
Right.
I mean, say all you want to say about more right tackle, left tackle, and Broderick Jones is the left tackle of the future. That's fine. That's not going to do you any good in Atlanta if Dan Moore can't play right tackle right now.
You'd basically be starting four rookies.
You got to play the guys at their strengths right now. Now, you can revisit that in 3 or 4 weeks when if Sam Wilder comes back, which he was around yesterday. It's hard to just get a feel on that pec injury, but, you know, it wasn't bruised or anything, so, I mean, that doesn't matter. It's all strength there. So
right.
You can't do anything with it either. Yeah, you wouldn't imagine, but he's a tough guy. I imagine he's going to strap that sucker up and be back sooner rather than later. But when everybody's ready to go, then you move the people around where you go. The question is does Dan Moore play as well or as solid as he can or has he shown here in training camp that they don't want to make that move quite yet? They have to wait till he screws up. Do you think they have to wait till they screw up to put Fatanu?
I was going to ask you the same thing. Like, all right, if you're not going to do Fatanu now, when would you see him? You would have to see a cataclysmic failure, I think, from Dan Moore Jr. Because forget about what Pro Football Focus says. Forget about what people like me say to a microphone. The Steelers believe enough in Dan Moore Jr. Now, not so much they didn't draft two tackles, but they do believe in experience. And I could see at some point Fatanu at right and Dan Moore at left, man. Yeah.
Unless, you know, like last year.
At that point, I would say they're screwing it up. I get it for right now. But if we get halfway through the season and you've got Broderick Jones riding the pine, that can't happen.
Nah, I don't think that will happen. I mean, unless Dan Moore somehow comes up and at the halftime of a game says something unsavory to the coaching staff and they bench him. Right. Right?
At what point, okay, let's do it this way, actually. Let's say week 12. What's your starting Steelers offensive line, assuming health?
What's week 12? Giants, maybe?
Doesn't matter who they're playing.
A little bit past the Giants. That might be into their stretch run, huh? Maybe the Browns or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, I mean, it would depend on how Dan Moore plays, but I would assume that it would be the five that we figured, you know, Fatanu, Jones left, Daniel, Samalu, Frazier.
If Broderick were healthy, or excuse me, if Samalu...
You're struggling with the Samalu Fatanu.
Yes,
ones, huh?
And I did it earlier. And
I know, I was going to text you.
I know, Doran's usually here to correct me, and some guy texted in and said, God bless you for screw... You had Samalu playing right tackle, and you had him healthy.
You had him playing... And when I was driving here, you had him playing both right tackle and guard, I think.
Meanwhile, he's going to play none, right?
No.
Who are we talking about?
Yes.
Neither one of them are playing this weekend.
I was kind of confused.
I think if Fatanu were healthy the entire time, he'd be your right tackle.
Yeah.
And Broderick would probably be your left. But I do think you can't discount what the Samalu injury does to everything.
Yeah.
Because you're just not going to play.
He was our best offensive lineman
right this
year.
And you wanted to set it up, if you were going to have Broderick at left, he'd be playing next to a veteran who's playing next to then a rookie who's playing then next to a veteran who'd be playing next to a rookie. I think they like the idea of that. Each of the rookies has a vet on the other side. Well, now that can't be the case.
Yeah, you know, another thing is you can't discount Broderick Jones' injury. I mean, at any point, I mean, we don't know how bad it is, but we obviously know it's an elbow injury. I am pretty sure there's something going on with his hand/thumb.
Oh.
For the first time in my life, I saw an offensive lineman in an NFL wear actual gloves, padded gloves at practice yesterday, which was very interesting to me. So how much can he battle through this before something happens will be a big key here, I think. I mean, that maybe that decision's made for you. Maybe he can't go and he needs a couple weeks off. Then all of a sudden, here comes Fatanu. Then, you know,
well, do you think they would ever bench him for performance, Broderick Jones?
I don't think so.
It would have to be under the...
It would be performance based on injury.
Mm-hmm. I thought the offensive line had a chance of being a strength coming in. I think it's hard to make that claim. Now, wouldn't surprise me if they're good by the end of the year. That's what they've done each of the last two seasons. But I can't feel good. No one can feel good about it going into the year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at week one here, and what are you having? About 90 career starts between those five, and 80 of them come from James Daniels? You don't have much experience going into it. Lucky it's Atlanta, and there's going to be 80% Steeler fans there, but it's not a slouch of a defense with Raheem Morris either.
No, Raheem Morris is a really good defensive coordinator, and now he's the head coach, so you know he's going to put that spin on it.
If you don't have the offensive line, you don't run the ball, then all of a sudden this looks like Matt Canada's offense, right? Nothing works because it's all going to be based off the offensive line, based off the run, based off the play action. It's all intertwined here. So if the line does not play well, then you're going to see some, you know, 10, 13, 14 point games early in the season. You're going to be like, my goodness.
You're going to have to run it a lot, though, because I have a lot more faith in this line's ability to run block than I do pass block. Broderick Jones and Dan Moore. And I think when you're young, that comes faster than picking up stunts and things of that nature. Plus just the physical side of things. Going to the NFL level.
Plus, I mean, they're doing, with Arthur Smith, they do a lot of that outside zone, so they're really just blocking the area rather than
right.
the person as well. So that should help them a little bit. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they adjust this quick. Like you said, the past 2 years, they didn't get off to a flying start there, offensive line-wise. And Russell Wilson is a guy that's, obviously, they want to play action, and he holds on to the ball a little bit, trying to get the ball down the field, which probably why people are screaming into their radio right now. That's why we want Justin Fields in there, because he can maybe make something out of nothing. I'd rather make something out of something rather than, okay, let's see if something breaks down, then we have a fallback plan.
I can grant you this. I mean, I do think if the offensive line is a hell in a handbasket, I think he could create more than Russ. I also think in his attempt at creation, he's also going to make some mistakes. Yeah. And then you really can't win.
Yeah, you can't make mistakes. And that's the two reasons why Russell is starting here is his leadership and his idea of his ability not to make as many mistakes as Justin Fields. It's going to be boring early, but they don't want – they want to – rely on that $160 million defense and their punter who's good. And
they have this,
let's win some ugly games early until we figure it out.
And it's so early for this, but I don't know who I'm going to pick to win the game yet. I want to pick Atlanta, but Kirk hadn't practiced. I mean, he didn't play. He's coming off a massive injury. Defense generally ahead of offense. We saw it couple times recently. Steelers going to Buffalo.
Good offensive line, Atlanta.
It is.
Good skill players as well.
I think you're going to get the worst possible version of Kirk Cousins in this game. I think he's going to have a nice year. I think they got pieces around him. But I think that you're going to get the worst possible version of him. And I do think, whatever the total is, I haven't really dived into it. Is that the correct word?
I don't know.
Dove in?
I don't know.
I haven't really...
Hit F7.
Looked at that yet?
Hit F7. Right?
I feel pretty good about the under right now at this particular moment, even without having looked at the number.
Well, you can't discount it. Like I said, it's going to be a home game. It's going to be, because we were there two years ago, and it was like, okay, we're at Heinz.
The famous Connor Hayward game.
Connor Hayward game?
Where yes. Kenny almost overthrew him in the back.
Freiermuth had a big 60-yarder that game as well. Yes, I mean, it's just out of control how many Steeler fans will be there.
Do you think Arthur Smith reaches into his bag of tricks to shove it to his old program?
I don't think we're going to see Justin. My prediction is Justin Fields zero snaps.
I just mean in general, you might see some goofy stuff. Mm-hmm. If you need to manufacture offense and you're in a place where you want to stick it to him, I could see him going out there and doing something like that.
I think they're just going to be basic, man. Run the ball, convert first downs. Third downs into first downs and get out of there with a win. I don't think
so. Like last year,
crazy. Yeah, I don't think. I mean, at least early on here, you don't know what this offense is really like. I mean, my goodness, they had one decent drive in three preseason games.
Mike Tomlin press conference today. I want to know what Mark wants to ask Tomlin. We'll get into that a little bit. And a topic I had earlier on in the show, just looking at quarterback rooms around the NFL and comparing and contrasting where the Steelers are. We'll do that with the expert, Mark Caboli, coming up next. But first, a reminder, you can text us. Brought to you by Eggers, Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
See that? My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
That player for Robert Morris making that one-handed interception says he broke his hand. So that's why he had to go up and make the catch. I did not know that until Starkey talked to him yesterday, because my take on it is a really unpopular one before I had that information.
You sure you want to go this one, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, go up and catch the thing with two hands, man. Like, you don't need to do that. But then you find out his hand's broken and it makes it maybe the second most impressive catch of the weekend, but one of the best catches you're going to see all year. Like, you don't have to do that unless your hand is hurt. Like, I thought he was showing off. Nope. Turns out he had to do it. It's a hell of a play. Hell of a play. He'll wind up someplace else next year, right?
Yeah.
Guy making that play. Maybe. Like, West Virginia took the best corner from Duquesne. Not that he helped on Saturday.
The University of Pittsburgh, huh?
Mm-hmm. You could have this guy playing up, playing for Pat Narduzzi. Narduzzi's put some DBs in the NFL.
Is there any NIL money in Robert Morris? I'm sure there's some. I'm unaware of how this works.
I'm sure there's some, but they're not going to have as much as Pitt. You're not going to have as much as Power 4 schools. Not going to have as much as
your Power
Group
4
of 5 school.
Now,
well, it's just accurate. You know what's driving me nuts, and I don't know why it's happening, is there's a 2-minute warning in the NFL, but in college you have to say the 2-minute timeout. And then Reese Davis said you're not allowed to call it the warning. I don't know if the NFL has it trademarked or something like that.
It's very possible. The 2-minute warning was way back when, wasn't it, where they had to actually stop the clock to make sure the refs had the same time as the... I mean, you're going back to like the 50s or something like that, of why there's such thing as a 2-minute warning, so they could sync up their ref's clock with the actual game clock in the
stadium. My God.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get why you'd still have it now, because it does help make the end of games more intriguing with an extra stoppage, so I don't mind them putting that in
a
college
1-minute warning, too.
Yeah, and then 30 seconds, give me one at 15, and then it doesn't matter if Mike Tomlin uses all his timeouts. All right, speaking of Tomlin, what are you going to ask him today? Is there anything you're burning to know?
Well, there's two things here. What you're going to ask him and what he's going to answer, right?
Correct. Yeah, so what do you want to know? Because we know you ain't getting the answer.
It's all, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to go over in my head of how to phrase the question so he does not respond in a one word answer. And it's very difficult.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I say it this way, he's going to come back with a one word
answer. Do you think he likes you? Because I don't think he likes Brooke.
I don't think he likes anybody.
Well, yeah, but there's definite tiers. Like, he doesn't like Brooke at all. He doesn't, I think he respects Benzie, but he doesn't get along with him because Benz is going to ask questions that he knows he's trying to twist him.
Plus, Benzie got the long questions, just like a Adamski with the long ones. I think...
just darts flying left and right.
Even if he does like me, so to speak, it's not going to prevent him from darting me.
Mm-hmm.
And the dart is like the one-word answer, like, whoa, okay, I see you didn't want to answer that one. But...
what do you want to know?
I don't know if there's anything that's burning that I would want to ask him right now that he would answer. I would guess it would be something offensive line-wise, but he's going to poo-poo that. He's going to talk like that's not a big deal.
And if you know you're like not going to get an answer, do you not ask it then?
No. Sometimes you have to ask.
Right.
Just to see the reaction. I mean, you knew you weren't going to get... well, sometimes you do get the answer. You remember a couple years ago with the USC thing? Everybody was looking around and goes, okay, who's going to ask this one about USC? Well, none of us want to. He's not going to answer it. Then he does answer it, right? So you have to ask it. But it's so early in the season and not much has happened right now since the last time he talked.
Right.
That I don't see it going to be much... I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some Raheem Morris talk and stuff like that, but...
he's going to make... Kirk Cousins in this offense talk out to be the greatest show on turf. We know how that goes, a 15-minute preamble about how good they are.
Yeah. I don't know, man. These things are just a dog and pony show to me. I'll be working on something later in a week, so I'll probably ask something more than specific that's not related to the game. Maybe something offensive line-wise. Maybe something... Russell-wise, something like that. Nothing specific to come out of the game like, what's your relationship with Raheem Morris?
I have a quarterback question for you coming up next, and then a question about the team at large. I want you to get mentally prepared. Schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. I'm doing that on Thursday, Mark, getting the old heart looked at.
You want to find out, do you actually have one?
Oh, people know I have a heart. I wear it on my sleeve. I'm an emotive guy, an empath.
You know what they're going to do to you?
Just get one of them echocardiograms, little EKG.
To like run on a treadmill or something?
Stress test? No. But my dad, he got his heart transplant. He got sick around the age I am now.
You do that because of your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when he turned, he was 32, 33, and he went in for a routine checkup, and they're like, this ain't right. Had an enlarged heart. Arrhythmias, things of that nature, and sort of caught him by surprise, and 30 years later got a new heart. So hopefully I'm
30
not...
30 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they managed it with pills for a while, and then eventually you just get old and it deteriorates.
Huh. Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. Go get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Could save your life. And I'm putting my money where my mouth is because I'm doing it on Thursday. Mark, a question. Would you rather field the quarterback question or the question about the team at large first? Choose your own adventure here.
Oh, you know what? Why don't Harry Callis choose? He's been kind of quiet today, and I think the show needs more Harry Callis today.
All right, Callis, you want to talk quarterback or you want to talk team at large?
Oh, I just love being honored with this decision. quarterbacks.
All right. Not about this year's.
I thought for sure you were going
to
go off.
I thought about doing it, but he's my – I don't have Doran today, so I need to rely on Callis. I can't throw him under the bus. So not – about this year, but about the quarterback position in general, which teams are in a worse spot than the Steelers?
Wow.
Because I think they're in a bad spot. I think Russ gives them a better chance to win than, say, the crappy situation going on in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Like, I think Russ can win you football games, but I'm not sure that means he's your quarterback of the future, and I'm not sure Justin Fields is the quarterback of the future, so that's what I'm getting at.
Well, the first one jumps off the page to me are the Giants, right?
Yeah.
The Giants are just
because you have
mess.
A guy that you
paid a lot of money
yes.
to.
So next year, if they were to cut Daniel Jones next season, they're on the hook for $22 million dead money. Year after that, it'd be $11 million. But that's a lot of money to pay a guy who stinks out loud. I put the Saints.
I don't even know who their quarterback. Oh,
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr, yes.
And yeah. Spencer Rattler, the backup there.
Hmm.
who 2 years ago I thought might be QB1, and then he wound up falling in the draft.
I swear he might. He's probably like 32 right now, Spencer Rattler. He seems that way.
He's got the Kenny Pickett was in college for a long time thing going.
That's a tough thing. You're going to bring a, you're going to say the Patriots, or is that no. still up in the air?
That I would much rather have the Patriots situation than the Steelers, because you draft a quarterback who's got a ton of pedigree, and you don't know, but you feel better about that. You feel like for the next 4 years, you know who your quarterback is.
Yeah, I'll tell you one right now. It might not be, it'll probably be a popular thing around here is the Browns. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's done nothing since he's been here, getting paid a ton of money. Basically has, 2 years left on his contract? Because I think 3 years from now, the number goes to 72. And you got Jameis Winston behind him? That's a little
interesting
situation.
You're basically going to have to give up on a season here. Not this year, but one of the next two where he's getting, you're getting a $72 million cap hit with that guy.
Plus, there's still $50 million under the cap. Mm-hmm. How's that even possible?
That's where, look, the cap is kind of fake. And it's faking it for them this year, but that bill is always going to have to come due.
There's a lot of quarterback. Carolina.
See, but at least you have a guy that you thought highly enough of last year. Who you got the worst owner in sports. Definitely the worst in the NFL. And I think that's the bigger issue there.
Denver. You a Bo Nix guy?
I'm not a Bo Nix guy, but I can massage it to where they're in a better situation because you've at least got a player that you believe in, and you're going to find out over the next couple of years. Like, if Russ leads you to a playoff victory, there's no chance he's here next year, which is why I look at this as the ultimate purgatory season for the Steelers, because you want to break that playoff winless drought, but if you do, it doesn't mean that the guy that helped do it is even going to be here next year.
I'll tell you who has an interesting situation.
Titans.
Would be the Titans, obviously.
Will Levis and our guy Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, Mason...
Your guy.
Well, yeah, I think that's not a good situation to be in unless Levis does something here. I mean, Mason is what he is.
What's
I mean,
the one you were going to say? Because I cut you off.
I totally forgot. Oh, the Jets. I mean, the Jets are ready to win now. And if Rodgers doesn't come back, even if he does come back to be playing good football, that's a year. I mean, do you really think he's going to be playing 42, 43?
That's
an interesting where you have a team set up. Have everything except the quarterback potential.
They could be in exactly the same situation the Steelers are in. We just don't know it because at last we saw Rodgers, he was playing at an MVP kind of level. And we can't say the same about Russ. All right, here's my Steelers team question. Mm-hmm. Ceiling and floor. I think those numbers are very close together. I think with Tomlin, the floor is always roughly 9-8. But I think lately with Tomlin, the ceiling is pretty much 9-8, 10-7. What do you think?
I mean, history says that, right? They haven't had that huge season since. They haven't been really in contention where you had thought that they were going to have a chance at a run in the playoffs since, 16-17? So it's been a while. So, yeah, I mean, until you prove otherwise, they are that team, which I don't think is a bad thing. The people look at that negative. Honestly, I will be totally honest with you. People... And I forget who heard it. I don't even know who said this. Somebody said this, so if I'm stealing from you, whatever. You know, it's not bad. You can sit there and complain about being 9-8 every year until you're, 4-13 one year. Then all of a sudden, 9-8 looks pretty doggone.
But I think Steelers fans, and maybe I'm wrong in this, I think Steelers fans would be okay with that if it led to the next one. Like, you weren't getting Ben. Unless you finished 6-10, and they did, and so you get your franchise quarterback, and immediately you're 15-1.
Well,
then you're winning the Super Bowl.
Shouldn't have gotten their franchise quarterback, but the Browns helped out that.
They did, but that's the thing, man. Sometimes you need to tank. Now, I do think it is commendable that Mike Tomlin has such a high floor. My biggest problem with Tomlin is that the floor and the ceiling are—it's a blurred line. It's like the Robin Thicke song. Blurred lines, with all the nudity. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No,
I'm sure it's
idea.
In your search history. That's my biggest problem with Tomlin. It's not, he does seem to every year, he doesn't even seem, he does every year, they're in the darn thing.
Which is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, but honestly, you are never left thinking there could have been more. Like last year, they had no shot to do anything. Year before that, they had no shot to do anything. Year before that, they had no shot to do anything. And year before that, you have no shot to do anything. This year, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, you can meet me there, right?
Well, yeah.
0% chance they win the Super Bowl this season.
Well, last year, you had them about 80%, right? So you thought that ceiling was a little higher last year.
I did have them at 12-5, yeah.
See,
as Callis cackles behind the window.
Honestly, I think that people focus a little bit too much on non-losing seasons compared to, what is he now, 17 years? Whatever it is. 17 years and playing one meaningless game in 17 years? That is amazing to me.
I say it every year down the stretch that what I have done is, Ben's final season, I said it'd be nice if you just stink. But then when they didn't, those games were fun down the stretch. Kenny Pickett's first season. It wouldn't be the worst thing. You get real change if they stink, but it was fun down the stretch. Last year, could have gone in the tank, but it was fun down the stretch. There's no doubt you are having more fun. There's more happiness in your life when your football team is in it. But if you are going to win it, you probably do need to have one of those bad seasons in tank.
But you couldn't have had more change than you did this past year, right? There's a ton of change going on.
Correct, but my argument is,
both staff-wise and player-wise,
does it get you, are they any closer now to their ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl? No. I think they have a better chance of winning a playoff game, but this is not a Super Bowl contender. It wasn't last year. They're probably, realistically, wasn't much that they could do to take them from a contender as a playoff team last year to a legitimate Super Bowl team this year. Yeah. They made as much change as you really can. You would have liked to see another wide receiver, obviously. Maybe more corner depth, obviously. But this team isn't winning the Super Bowl.
You know, depending on, I don't know, man. I just think so many things can happen right now that I'm more excited with having a chance to switch things over and go in a different route every single year here until something works. And there's no guarantee if you tank, you're getting Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, let's go 6-10. We'll get Ben Roethlisberger. No, you stink and you got Kenny Pickett 1 year, right? You stink and you get Drake May 1 year, right? There's no guarantee that you stink that you're going to get that 18-year
Hall
of Fame franchise quarterback.
For sure.
Either.
There's no question about that. But you look at what's happened for them. With Bradshaw, with Ben, you know, what do they say? Night's always darkest before the dawn? That kind of deal. All right, we got Social Media's Biggest Loser coming up next. I got three of them. Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines here. Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Go ahead, do yourself a favor. Look up that music video on your phone during the break, Mark. Oh, my God, we killed the clock. Shocker. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Three things real quick. Number one, I hate the 49ers.
Why?
I can't stand them.
Why?
Because they got to keep all their good players, and for an entire offseason they had so much friggin' drama about them not keeping their good players. What's going to happen with Trent Williams? What's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk? Oh, you know what's going to happen? They're going to freaking stay with the 49ers. So that's number one.
Sounds like a good organization to me.
Number two. Well, yeah, it just drag us through the weeds on it. Number two. Are you familiar with Ben Herbstreit, the dog?
No, Kirk Herbstreit.
Kirk Herbstreit has a dog that he's now bringing game day.
Yes, I did see that.
And people are annoyed by it.
Why?
Agreed. Agreed with the why. My man loves his dog. He wants to bring the dog on the road. It's sports. It's college sports. It ain't that serious. So bang, there's number two. And then finally, you know how I just banged on the table about my hatred of the 49ers? That was performative. Just like Brian Kelly after his loss. Did you see that one? Bangs on the table. Oh, it happened again. Fake outrage. He's mad.
A little forced.
Yeah, a little forced. But we have no time. We got to hand things over to Starkey, and I've mismanaged the clock like I'm Neil Brown at the end of the second quarter against Penn State. So we're going to hand things over to Starkey. I am very thankful to you, Kaboli.
All right.
A last minute change here with Doran unable to come in. So thanks for joining me.
Yes, I appreciate you making me come through that traffic. So
Now head on through the traffic again to get to the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Tomorrow should have Doran back. Definitely have Doug Whaley from 9 until 10. Jam-packed show. Looking forward to talking to you since then. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road in McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. Today, high 75.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.